Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Floridians are recovering in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton, which slammed into the state's west coast last night. ABC's David Muir is there.
Along the Gulf Coast, where the hurricane made landfall, in Venice, debris in the streets. In Bradenton Beach, Police Chief John Cosby.
I'm going to say very close to 100% of our population evacuated. We've never had an event like this.
In Sarasota, families just now returning.
We've been through a bunch of them. And they've never been this bad.
The death toll from Milton now stands at 13. In Colorado, it was a mechanical issue in an elevator shaft that has now trapped about a dozen people 1,000 feet below ground at a tourist gold mine attraction in Teller County. Authorities were able to rescue an additional 11 people from that elevator when it broke, including 2 children. The sheriff does confirm 1 person died in that rescue operation. And consumer prices up 2.4% in September. This is ABC. The family matriarch of one of America's most powerful political families has died. Ethel Kennedy, the widow of RFK, lived her life alongside her husband in the service of others. ABC's Jonathan Carl takes a look back.
Ethel was a devout Catholic and looked to her faith in heartbreak, including the death of her parents in a plane crash in 1955 and her brother in another crash 11 years later. Then in 1984 came the loss of her son David from an overdose, and again in 1997 when her son Michael died in a skiing accident. She also outlived 2 of her grandchildren and a great-grandson.
President Biden released a statement on Ethel's passing, calling her a matriarch of optimism and moral courage and an emblem of resilience. She was 96 years old. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is set to introduce the company's latest venture tonight, the Cybercab. The company's taxi will operate like an Uber, just without any drivers, they say. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some Wisconsin school districts are the subject of a federal rights complaint. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
4 Wisconsin school districts are accused of violating Title IX by allegedly fostering hostile environments for transgender and non-binary students. The complaints are targeting districts that have allegedly eliminated or excluded gender identity from their anti-discrimination policies. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Doctors in Wisconsin say now is the time to get your annual COVID and flu shots. Dr. Jim Conway of UW Health says previous shots or illnesses won't keep you immune this season. That's because viruses mutate into different variants. Conway says this year's shots are your best defense against this year's strains. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks take on the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks and the Lakers in Milwaukee tonight for a preseason matchup. LeBron James questioning on Twitter why the Lakers have to travel all the way to Wisconsin for just one preseason game. NFL, the Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday. Romeo Doubs back at practice after his suspension. Matt LaFleur on what he told the players on how to handle any issues.
You have to have a conversation. There's usually a chain of command with that in terms of going to your position coach, addressing the issue. But how does it fit the confines of the team's wants. We're in the business of winning.
Packers wide receiver Bo Melton talked about facing his younger brother, Max, who plays defensive back for Arizona.
You know, I've been hearing it all day, me and Max. So just like since little kids, you always been on the same team. This is the first time we're actually going against each other on separate teams. So, you know, I'm definitely excited to play against him too, you know, just to see, you know, how good he's gotten. Definitely can't wait for the matchup.
That's Packers receiver Bo Melton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and still mild tomorrow, high in the low 70s. Cooler for the weekend, mostly cloudy and low 60s Saturday, breezy and mid-50s Sunday, with sunshine returning. Some frosty mornings possible to start next week. It's 65 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Sean Blaschka and Bill Beaudry from the Wausau Paranormal Research Society team for Freaky Friday. And it's also a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr comes by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudgy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans. Call or text 1-844-7-NATIVE or chat online at stronghearts.helpline.org.
Hey, it seems like the first half of the show is going to be an all Ho-Chunk show there, Haley. We have our friend Trisha Zunker. And Trisha, it's great to see you as always. I heard something in the background, like it sounded like an animal of some sort. No, but we're great to see Trisha Zunker. She's a member of the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Days Committee, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And it's great to see you, Trisha, as always.
Great to see you also. Good evening.
Yes, yes. So tell us a little bit. I know we have a big following in Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media, 30 stations across Wisconsin. And, of course, you know, Minnesota and the Best Doves are in Michigan and Iowa and all about. So let's talk about your event.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do have to say, Robert, it was such a nice surprise one day. I was driving along, listening to the radio, and it was you. You know, I'm here in central Wisconsin, and it was because the show is now on Civic Media. So in any event, we have the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow and Native American art market that is coming up this weekend, October 12th and 13th at the Central Wisconsin Expo and or Convention and Expo Center in Rothschild. This is the fourth time that we've done this. Really, the genesis of it is in 2018, I worked with the then Wausau Mayor, Mayor Milkey, to have Indigenous Peoples Day recognized in Wausau, and then also worked with the Marathon County Board of Supervisors for a countywide resolution, which passed unanimously. And even though that was 6 years ago, I have to say, Robert, in the climate that we have today, I don't know that we would have the same result, frankly. But I'm very grateful for that recognition. And so the next logical step was putting together a powwow. I grew up in this area in central Wisconsin. There used to be a really awesome powwow in March every year. And then I was gone for a long time, you know, school, work, those things, and came back to Wisconsin and we no longer had a powwow here. So it just kind of worked out logically as the next step of bringing it back and kind of repackaging it in this way to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
You know, what's really great about having the show, Trisha, is to have doers like you on the show. And I know we Haley and I were talking earlier before the show, and we did the Sunday night symposiums during COVID, and we had Native leaders all over the country on, and you were one of them. And I remember you ran for office and did a great job, and you're a doer, and you work for our tribe too, like I do. And it's you're an amazing person, and it's great to have you on and really amplify what this is all about.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I think it's a lot of, being a good ancestor and thinking about the generations that are to come and what kind of world we want to leave for them. You might see that I'm, surrounded by my basket gallery, and my grandma was a basket maker. And for our people, that was a way of survival, and still is a source of survival for many individuals. But for me, they're beautiful, but they are also a great reminder of the perseverance and resilience of our people. And it wasn't just for us to, be comfortable today and just worry about our immediate family, but really about the larger issues. And so there have been different things that I've done. I used to be school board president for one of the largest school districts in Wisconsin, and was able to further some things just as an Indigenous woman sitting in that seat that might not have happened otherwise. So it's really just also a testament to the power of how representation matters.
It definitely does. And I appreciate you. And again, I didn't mean to embarrass you at all, because you are one of the doers, and we're proud of you here in Ho-Chunk land, all over the five-state area and all over Turtle Island. So, Tricia, I wanted to mention that before we get really deep into Central Wisconsin's Indigenous Peoples Day powwow. And it's October 12th and 13th. What does Indigenous Peoples Day mean to you?
That's a great question. So Indigenous Peoples Day is the second Monday in October, which has been recognized as Columbus Day. But Columbus Day is a very painful day for a lot of Indigenous folks. It's also just kind of a symbolic of erasure in society. Invisibility is the modern form of racism against Native people. It's like either we're portrayed in this stereotypical way, as mascots and violent in media depictions, or we're not seen at all, that erasure. So this is really a way to kind of push back against that and say, hey, we're still here, we exist. And not only that, but we are separate. We have different tribal nations. It's not just like one giant Native American, but different tribal governments, tribal languages, cultures, traditions. So that's really what it is about bringing awareness. And I have to tell you how necessary it is. Probably in greater society, but definitely here in Central Wisconsin. Just some instances that we've had in recent years. Just a couple of years ago, there was a teacher that dressed up in a Native American costume, one of those cheap costumes that you can get online or from the Halloween store. And she wore that all day to teach her history lesson. This is not an Indigenous person that did that. And so what kind of message does that send? Even the small town that is adjacent to where we are having the powwow, they still have retained the racist name of Indians for their sports team, despite students pushing back and actually asking for a change. So there's a lot of work to be done, but at the same time, we want to celebrate who we are, our resilience, our perseverance, all of the unique and amazing contributions that we bring, our history and our contemporary existence.
Absolutely. And I think a really good point when we talk about powwows here, or vendors, or anybody that's at powwows, or like we're at the state fair, is anyone can come and support this. And there is a little protocol here we could just maybe talk about for a minute and then get back after the break.
Absolutely. So you raise a couple of good points on that, actually. So as I had mentioned, there had not been a powwow for some time here in Marathon County in central Wisconsin. So this serves as a way to educate the greater public, the greater community. And we keep it free because we know cost can be a barrier, and we don't want anybody to not be able to attend because of a financial situation. And we encourage everybody to come out. Ian, I've been doing different promotional things and really trying to stress, like, please come. If you've never been to a powwow before, it's a great opportunity. But I'll tell you, Robert, there's something else I've noticed now, having done this a few times, is the indigenous community that kind of descends upon central Wisconsin that doesn't really otherwise have a reason to come to Wausau. And I found that to be a really cool experience also. We had people come from all four corners of Wisconsin last year, but also Minnesota, I think in large part to your show. Thank you so much, Pina Gigi. But we had people come as far as Oklahoma last year to attend. So as far as protocol, you know, certainly just being respectful, making sure to use terminology. And for those that aren't aware, the dancers wear their regalia. It's not called a costume. It's not an outfit, but it's regalia that means a lot to them. They often create themselves. And you know, being respectful about pictures, you know, you can ask to have a picture with somebody, but not just necessarily taking pictures without consent. Those are a few things I would share in our limited time. But Robert, I would, you know, certainly love to hear a few of the things you'd share on that too.
Right on. We'll be right back. And we're with the great Tricia Zunker talking about the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow. We'll be right back after this short break.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Tricia Zunker, a member of the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day Committee, and we're talking about powwows and the powwow you're having out there on October 12th and 13th at the Central Wisconsin Convention and Expo Center, and that's 10101 Market Street, Rothschild, Wisconsin, and that was a tongue twister for me, but it's good to see you. And we'll talk a little bit, Haley, too. We always talk about this, the etiquette, you know, for our white allies that come to our powwows and buy our I want to say trinkets, but buy our swag and stuff. We talk a lot about that.
Yeah, so. We do. Yeah, I would say probably one of the things that I see the most at powwows, or like maybe someone's like first time there, is coming up and touching someone's regalia or touching someone's earrings that they're wearing or a medallion or some type of beadwork, I would, you know, if you're interested in knowing who made that, you know, just go up and ask them. Don't reach for it without permission, because beadwork takes a long time to make. Beads are fragile. They're often made with glass beads. And, yeah, just be respectful. No touching the hair. That's a big thing, too.
Right. And, Trisha, you talked about, you know, photographs. I mean, people, if you ask nicely, but I see a lot of people turn it down because we're not, you know, zoo animals either. But ask, and it's great to have you back on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing, too, you were kind of alluding to at the start of this segment is for the craft vendors and artists and the things that they have to sell. Certainly that is open to anybody in the public that wants to shop. And I hope people do come out to shop at the Native American Art Market, really building that up this year. In fact, we have so many vendors that we're actually filling a second space. I don't think that second space is going to be completely full in the entryway, but we do have a lot of interest. And I was going through the applications and counted representation from 19 Indigenous nations. So that's pretty cool. But the art market actually opens at 10 a.m. both days. Now, one thing I've been stressing, and I want to stress here as well, is for anybody that's making the effort to attend the powwow and hasn't attended before, I really encourage you to try to make it for a grand entry. Grand entry is at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. And that is when the dancers process in and fill the arena, and it is truly a beautiful sight to see. I also want to flag, before I forget, that we are going to have ASL interpreting services available for the 1 p.m. session on Saturday.
Wow, that's really cool and exciting. And, yeah, we want to amplify that. The grand entries are where it's at, and we always try to make those and say, hey, what time's grand entry? What time's grand entry? You know, Trisha, you know, how can people volunteer and help you help out your organization, but also help out during the powwow?
Yeah, certainly folks can message the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day Committee Facebook page. We are an entirely Indigenous-led 501c3, and we formed specifically to bring this event to Central Wisconsin. It happened after the first recognition in 2018 of Indigenous Peoples Day. And truly, I was just being interviewed on the news and said, well, you know, I think now we're going to have to put together a powwow. And you know how it is, after you say it, you got to do it. So then that was the next step, is all right, let's form this nonprofit. But folks can get involved that way. A lot of the volunteers are already kind of scheduled for tomorrow as far as setup. And truth be told, most of the heavy lifting has been done. At this point, it's through the weekend. People show up. They do their things. You know, our powwow staff, they're veterans. They know what to do. We've got 11 drum groups that are coming, and certainly we're not closing the door to anybody. We are very, you know, if you want to come and sing, we want you here, you know, we'll make the room. But that's one way, is people can reach out through the Facebook page, Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day Committee on Facebook.
Wow, that's exciting. And, you know, who would have thunk, I'm 63 years old, that we would have this day instead of Columbus Day. And it's from hard work and doers like you. And I know here in Minnesota, we have like State Representative Heather Keeler, who really started in the school district as a liaison in the school district, that really worked her way into the Capitol here in Minnesota. And so we're really proud at all that work, and really, really happy. I'm happy as a baby elder to see all these things happening, Trisha.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we still have a lot of work to do. But I think that at the same time, to be able to have this fantastic celebration, it's a labor of love, but it's something that we really need to have here. And I'm really excited to see how many more events are popping up now recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day, and how many more employers are taking it seriously and giving individuals the day off, frankly.
Absolutely. And that goes all into hard work like you and many people all across Turtle Island. Talking about our stories and talking about real history and things like that, that, you know, people try to squash or don't even teach. So there's a lot of backstory and back work that people like you, Tricia, and our doers here all over Turtle Island have really amplified for us as Native Americans here.
Yeah, and one other thing that I will mention is that we're going to have voter registration at the powwow. So that might be something you don't often see, but it's an important year, and we know the power of the Native vote. It certainly made a difference in Wisconsin, which is a pretty key state in terms of the election this year as far as that outcome. So we really want to make sure that people do get registered to vote. I mean, not really encouraging who to vote for, but just want people to use the power of their voice and vote. And that registration, of course, is open to everybody. But we really do want to encourage the Native vote to really show up big time this year.
Yeah, and we know the last couple cycles in Wisconsin, three votes in each county or area, voting area, made the difference in both those elections, those last two cycles, of roughly, what, less than 20,000 votes.
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I will say, you did reference how I ran for a seat in 2020. I did run for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District in as a very gerrymandered district. But, you know, all you can do is try and give it 120%, and I sure did. But I'll tell you something. I received a number of messages from Indigenous folks, not Ho-Chunk, but people that were members of other tribes that messaged me and said things like, I have never voted in an election besides my tribal election, but I got out and voted for you. And so, you know, it goes back again to the power of representation matters. And when we have Indigenous candidates, it does motivate folks to get to the polls. And then, you know, they're voting up and down the ballot. So it really does make a difference.
Yeah, it does. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I just wanted to know where the boundaries were, because we really love that you ran for that. And you worked your rear end off, but the gerrymandering got you. But you were very, very close in winning both those elections.
We moved the needle 6 points in that special election. And that is, that's a pretty big deal. But, you know, everything... All I can say is it was an honor and a privilege. It did take me quite a bit of time to reinflate from that. It was a lot of work, and I still, you know, balanced all of my obligations and duties and didn't let anything falter. I'm a big believer that if you're going to do something, you know, do it right, do it, give it 120%. But it did take a little bit. But I certainly want to support anyone who's listening and feels that urge to run and serve, to listen to that voice. Because, you know, start before you're ready. You're never going to feel like, oh yeah, now's my time. That feeling just never comes. But if you feel that sense of, I want to serve my community, there's something more that I can do, follow that. And I'm certainly happy to have discussions with anybody that's looking to have, you know, talk about that topic further. But I certainly support seeing more Indigenous leaders coming up too.
Yeah, definitely. And we were really proud of you. And maybe the next cycle, I'll start asking you again if you're going to run again, because it's less gerrymandered now.
That is a common question. Now, here's the thing in Wisconsin. I don't know how much you followed it, but there are new lines for the assembly and state Senate seats. So that's really promising. Really looking forward to seeing what happens here in November. The congressional lines are still different. Maybe one of the constitutional seats someday. I don't know. We'll see. I really enjoy serving my people, the Ho-Chunk Nation. I also serve the Meskwaki Nation in Iowa as Chief Justice of their Court of Appeals, and I'm really enjoying that work as well. And, you know, I'm a solo parent, and so I think I'm going to just kind of see my son through till he goes off to college, and then we'll see from there. But he just turned 14 last week, so we'll see.
Excellent. Well, Tricia, I just want you to bring up one more thing. Just give me the quick update here on the Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow and let everyone know in this last minute we're on.
All right. The Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow and Native American Art Market is this weekend, Saturday, October 12th, Sunday, October 13th. Doors open at 10 a.m. for the art market.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Floridians are recovering in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton, which slammed into the state's west coast last night. ABC's David Muir is there.
Along the Gulf Coast, where the hurricane made landfall, in Venice, debris in the streets. In Bradenton Beach, Police Chief John Cosby.
I'm going to say very close to 100% of our population evacuated. We've never had an event like this.
In Sarasota, families just now returning.
We've been through a bunch of them. And they've never been this bad.
The death toll from Milton now stands at 13. In Colorado, it was a mechanical issue in an elevator shaft that has now trapped about a dozen people 1,000 feet below ground at a tourist gold mine attraction in Teller County. Authorities were able to rescue an additional 11 people from that elevator when it broke, including two children. The sheriff does confirm one person died in that rescue operation. And consumer prices up 2.4% in September. This is ABC.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The State Building Commission approved more than $160 million for new construction projects around Wisconsin this week. That includes $50 million for 50 projects aimed at bolstering infrastructure and services, such as health and wellness, economic and workforce development, arts and culture, and public services. We're four games into the Wisconsin Badgers' first season with alcohol sales at Camp Randall Stadium, as Terry Bell reports fans seem to be handling their booze.
UW-Madison police say alcohol-related arrests at Badger football games are down since the athletic department started selling alcohol at Camp Randall Stadium. UW-Madison police say they've arrested 90 people so far this year. That compares to 130 last year. Beer and seltzer sales at football games have been strong all season. I'm Terry Bell.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Guy Ritchie is attempting to line up some heavy hitters for his new project. The director of films like Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is in talks with Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Tom Hardy to star in his new series for Paramount Plus, tentatively called Guy Ritchie's The Associate. Deadline.com reports that the hour-long drama will tell the story of two generations of gangsters in the UK. There is no release date yet set. Martin Scorsese is getting on in years and makes very long films. The 81-year-old director has been in this racket for 60 years and says he has no intention of slowing down. Deadline reports that Scorsese has put his project about Frank Sinatra on hold while he works on a movie about Jesus. The director says he was inspired to tell the story of Jesus after meeting the Pope at Vatican City last year. He says he is hoping God gives him strength to finish both films. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and still mild tomorrow, high in the low 70s. Cooler for the weekend, mostly cloudy and low 60s Saturday, breezy and mid-50s Sunday, with sunshine returning. Some frosty mornings possible to start next week. It's 63 right now.
Badger fans, Wisconsin men's basketball tips off the 24-25 season November 4th with new names and new conference opponents. Whether you're looking for season tickets, five-game packages, or single-game options, we've got something to fit your schedule. Now's the time to secure your seats for an exciting season of Badger men's basketball. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. It'll be a fantastic TGIF Friday. Brady Ewing and Peter Rapine with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're going to change up a little bit here, and we got a lot to talk about with Wendy. And Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, 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 many years. Just kidding. We talk about our sacred animals and what affects our relatives, ones with four legs, hooves, and tails, and big noses.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Robert, we have a lot going on right now in Florida. Florida has gotten hit now with their second hurricane within 2 weeks. And it's just complete devastation. And listen, you know I love people. I do love people. Mm. I love people, and I'm hoping that everybody gets out and nobody is killed on, you know, during this hurricane. And 2 weeks ago, there were many people who died. I think the number was over 200, right?
Yeah.
200 and something between, you know, Florida, North Carolina, up in other states. It's been just crazy. My mind and how my mind works is when I see horrible devastation like this, I think of the ones with no voices. I think of, you know, animals. And I just hope that everybody takes their pet with them, doesn't leave them tied up, doesn't leave them outside, doesn't, you know, leave them in the house hoping that everything's going to be fine, because a lot of times it's not, and they get terrified. But what I wanted to talk about was what the Humane Society of the United States is doing right now to help animals. Now, this is from the Humane Society of the United States official page. It's written by Kitty Block. And as we know, Kitty Block is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States.
Meow.
I know. It's kind of funny, right? That her name is Kitty. I just think it's funny. But anyway, this is what she wrote. Evacuating shelter animals in Hurricane Milton's path while still responding to past storms. So she says, this week, as communities across the Southeast United States were still recovering from Hurricane Helene, some are bracing for yet another extremely dangerous hurricane. Our animal rescue team, having just deployed to various locations across Florida, Tennessee, and North Carolina to provide emergency veterinary care and distribute pet supplies and food last week, worked quickly once again to try to prevent harm to animals in the projected path of the new storm, Hurricane Milton. I just want to say this before I go on reading her blog, is that the Humane Society of the United States just doesn't go wherever there's a storm. So there's storms, earthquakes, terrible things that happen all throughout the United States. They have to be called in. So the people in Florida have to say, hey, we need your help, HSUS, get down here. Because there's a lot of states that have plenty of equipment, have plenty of resources for these types of things. Like California hardly ever calls the Humane Society of the United States in for help, because they have a lot of their own equipment and they have all their own stuff. So they have to be called in. And, you know, nobody wants somebody to just fly in and help and get involved if they're not asked, right? So I just wanted to make that.
Let me say something, Wendy, too. I read somewhere, and I know you're the queen of memes and talking about them on the radio, but I saw a cool meme that said, why don't we start naming these hurricanes after climate deniers and politicians? And So we know, like, this is the Ron DeSantis hurricane.
Wow. I didn't see that, but I love that. I think that's a great idea. So I just wanted to make that clear that they just don't jump in. They have to be called in. On Tuesday, they collaborated with Wings of Rescue to fly out 60 adoptable animals from the Tampa area shelter, brought them elsewhere to the Florida's panhandle. So what they're doing is they're getting all the animals that are in harm's way in the shelter, bringing them out elsewhere where they'll be safe. So then they could bring other animals into the shelter now that it's empty, right? So that's what they're doing. And as the storm approaches, their team is in frequent contact with local shelters and emergency personnel to plan on how best to respond to emerging and urgent needs. They are continuing to work on these responses as they are also working in other regions hit by recent storms. Now, I didn't even know about this because you don't hear this on the news, but she says they have also been responding to the destruction caused by Hurricane John in Mexico, where wind gusts exceeding 120 miles per hour with widespread flooding devastated entire communities. Their team set up veterinary clinics and distribution points for pet supplies and food, helping nearly 1,000 animals in a hard-hit region of Mexico. So I didn't even hear about that storm, but, you know, that's what they do. To date, in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, they have delivered critical relief to dozens of countries across Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. This included 17 truckloads of pet food, crates, cat litter, and other essential supplies. Corporate supporters such as Hill's Pet Nutrition, Total Quality Logistics, Fetch Pet Insurance, Chewy, we get some of our supplies through Chewy, and Cat's Pride have been instrumental in reaching affected areas. And they couldn't do this work without their partners with local shelters who have stepped up to transfer adoptable pets into their programs so that shelters impacted by the storms can assist pets in the community. And she has a list of so many supporters that are helping the animals. And I just want to give a shout out to all the shelter workers and the people out there who care about the animals. You know, we see tons of videos, at least I do, on my social media feeds of, you know, the little boats going around to the houses where the dog's sitting on the stoop or, you know, and they're getting the animals out and they're bringing them you know, safe. How much time do I have?
You got about 3 minutes, okay. So talk a little slower.
Okay. The other thing I want to talk about, and this is like not very popular, but I'm going to talk about it. So there are a lot of factory farms, right? Let's just say they have pigs, just for instance, and a hurricane comes. Unfortunately, they don't do anything to save those animals. They let the animals drown. And the reason why is because the farmers have insurance, and each pig is worth a certain amount of money. So it's not advantageous for the farmer to spend money on supplies and equipment and time to gather up the animals, you know, put them on trucks, bring them elsewhere where they wouldn't, you know, be harmed, because that takes up too much money, too much time, too much effort, too much manpower. So they just let these animals drown. And nobody hears about this because it's not in the news, because if people knew, I think that they would really be upset about it, right? So all these animals, whether they're chickens or cows or pigs or whatever, just drown. They're just left for their own device. And you could see videos of poor pigs trying to swim in the floodwaters, trying to grab onto a tree branch so they don't drown. But the farmers make out. They make out because they could say, hey, I lost a certain amount of heads or whatever they call them, and the insurance company will pay them. So I want to just put that out because that is happening also. So right now, and you never hear about it anywhere because it's honestly really too horrific to talk about. And if you really think about it, it's just really devastating and horrid. So, but I wanted to bring that up. So,
well, it's important. And that's what we talk about here is our relatives that are you started out the segment by seeing voiceless people and animals. I mean, homeless people.
Yes.
And along with
They did a big segment tonight on the news and how the unsheltered people are really getting hit hard. You know, a lot of them don't hear the news. They don't have cell phones. They're not, you know, watching what happens. You know, they're living in tents. They're living in low-lying areas that can be flooded. You know, a lot of them don't trust people. They're not trusting, you know, the people who really care about them and say, listen, let's go to a shelter. You're going to, something bad's going to happen. They're going to stay because, you know, people are not trusting of the people who are in charge. So, I mean, you can't blame them, you know.
We did see Tampa, what zoo were packing up animals.
Yes, the Tampa Zoo. A zoo is a different story. Anyway, they did a good job. The Tampa Zoo really did a good job about making sure all their animals were safe and packing them up and bringing them elsewhere out of harm's way. So I do appreciate that, although...
We don't like zoos.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I loved zoos because I loved animals. And as an adult, I hate zoos because I love animals. So that's how that goes. And that's a whole nother segment for another day, which we're not going to get into right now. But yeah, you know, hopefully people will not be killed. Animals will be safe. And this storm, I just feel like these storms are getting worse, more severe, more are coming. You know, global warming is a thing. Climate change is a thing. It's happening. It's real. And for the deniers out there, I don't know. What do you have to do? Hit them over the head?
No, going to have to. The stupid be eliminated.
Oh, Robert.
No. But yeah, get out of there, get to higher ground and protect yourself. And we're going to be right back, Wendy. This
All
is
right.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Every day, our people suffer at the hand of domestic and sexual violence. But you are sacred and deserve to be safe in your own home. Strong Hearts Native Helpline is here to help. Native-centered, empowerment-based, trauma-informed advocates offer safety, sovereignty, and support. Call or text 844-7NATIVE. To chat online, visit www.strongheartshelpline.org. Reach out today.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Make voting a tradition empowers Native American communities through civic engagement. For nearly a decade, MVAT has increased voter turnout by encouraging friends, family, and neighbors to get involved. By building trust and community engagement, MVAT ensures Native voices help shape the future. This election season, voting is easier than ever. Minnesota voters can cast their ballots early so elders and busy voters can avoid the rush of Election Day. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us and let's make voting a tradition for future generations.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. vaccines.gov.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Good howl. Hey, welcome back, and take it away, Wendy. I know we have more to talk about in our sacred animal section today on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, well, I want to thank Haley for giving me a good idea about what to talk about. And I have talked about this in the past. And it's about, like, how animals know when bad weather is going to happen. You know, I remember watching a movie about a tsunami. And I don't remember where it hit, but it was a place where elephants were. And the elephants knew what was happening before any people knew. And all these animals took to higher ground and they got out of the way. And a lot of people watch the animals, right? They watch the animals to find out, like, what's going on. I mean, we even know Wanda when she's shaking and we look at our weather app on our phone, it's like, oh, it's going to rain in 20 minutes. Like, how does she know that the rain's coming? You know, can she hear the thunder, like, distant thunder?
Oh,
I mean, can she sense the barometric pressure? Like, you know, what happens? But she knows, and she warns us when there's a storm coming. So right on the Weather Channel, there's a Weather Channel app, and on the Weather Channel, it says that they have 8 animals thought to predict the weather. So let's see what they have. Frogs.
Ooh.
Yeah. These loud amphibians are said to croak even louder and louder than usual when bad weather is on the horizon. When you hear their volume increase, you can assume a storm is brewing.
Ribbit.
Yeah. Birds. Hmm? Yeah. Birds, depending on how low our feathered friends are flying, we can gauge how bad the weather is going to be. It's been said that if birds are flying high, the weather is clear. But if they're flying closer to the ground, the air pressure of a storm system is causing them pain at higher altitudes.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cows. Cows. Farmers claim that these animals can forecast the weather. Mm. According to legend, when cows sense bad weather, they become restless and antsy and begin to swat flies with their tails or lie down in the pasture to save a dry spot.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that is weird, right? How about bees and butterflies?
They're beautiful.
Bees and butterflies. When bees and butterflies disappear from the flower beds, you can expect some heavy weather coming your way. The folklore goes that if they're not in their usual spots, something's up.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sheep.
Bah.
Yeah. When sheep gather in a huddle, tomorrow we'll have a puddle. Although this
Say that again.
When sheep gather in a huddle, tomorrow they will have a puddle. Although this rhyme is cute, the weather that comes with it isn't. It's believed that you can expect a storm when these animals crowd together and shield each other.
Mm.
Yeah, so just watching these animals, it's amazing. Ladybugs, one of the cutest insects around, can give us a hint about the day's thermostat. When they swarm, expect a day that's warm. There's another one.
No.
Yeah.
You're a poet,
when they swarm,
and your bugs show it.
Expect a day that swarms. On the other hand, if you notice the black and red bugs looking for shelter, then cold weather, it's on its way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door and wanting to get in.
Exactly. Ants. Ants. In preparation for bad weather, red and black ants sometimes build up their mounds for extra protection to cover the mound holes. So if you notice higher mounds than usual in your yard, it's probably best to close the windows. Groundhogs.
Oh.
Yeah, well,
they
we know
that. They can predict the...
Yeah.
No, they can't.
I know. In America, the most popular animal that is believed to be able to predict the weather is the groundhog. And the most famous groundhog is Phil from Pennsylvania. But there's some competition from General B. Lee George's own weather predicting groundhog. So there's a little controversy about that. But there's something here I wanted to read. Let me see if I could find it really quick.
Is it a fun meme? Because you know I love your memes.
I know.
All right. Well, Ed, I'll be just saying Wendy's digging through her phone.
Yeah. Well, here's I'm really losing it here. So anyway, they can detect changes in the atmosphere and in the environment, right? They can change air pressure, unusual sounds.
Can they pick a Super Bowl winner?
I know, right? The barometric pressure I mentioned earlier. They can hear things that we can't hear, and they just sense inclement weather. I'm hoping that, you know, there's a lot of wild animals in Florida. They have the Florida panthers. They have a lot of animals. And I just hope that these animals were able to find shelter and get into higher ground and, you know, safety. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what happens? I mean, we were just watching the news earlier and we could see like a marina in the bay area with all these boats. It's just like, why are all these boats still here? But then, you know, we were like, well, how are these people getting their boats out? They have to have a trailer. They have to get the boat on the trailer. And then they have to drive hundreds of miles, literally hundreds of miles out from harm's way. They can't get in the boat and, you know, drive it on the ocean somewhere to be safe. So I guess they just tie up their boat and just say a prayer and hope for the best.
That's a good question. We were perplexed.
We were really trying to figure that out. But
I even Googled it.
The animals are on my mind. I am worried about them. And I hope that people do their best to help the animals. And, you know, they just do. So here's something here. There's another thing here about cows. Another thing about cows.
Wow, it's a cow show.
Common theory is that cows are able to sense the approaching rain either through an increased moisture in the air or accompanying drop of air pressure. So they could probably feel that.
I feel that in my ankle.
Yeah, exactly. So here, we know that storms come across the U.S. from west to east. As they cross the Rockies, cows can sense the storm. They hear the thunder and sense danger. Oh, boy, they even talk about squirrels. Yeah.
Curry.
Many believe they are, while they are unable to chart wind speeds and discern patterns that indicate the change in weather, they do appear to have a built-in weather predictor, their instincts. Most of the assumptions about squirrels and weather relate to squirrel behavior just before the winter.
Wow. Yeah, we see that because they put like nuts in our dryer.
Oh my gosh. So we had to just get our dryer fixed because it wasn't working anymore. And a squirrel or a chipmunk.
Probably a chipmunk.
How did they even do that?
They got thumbs.
They put a bunch of peanuts, which by the way, we feed them peanuts, down the dryer chute. What do you call
that? Air vent.
The air vent of our dryer. And there were peanuts that was blocking our dryer. We just had to pay to get it fixed. But, yeah.
Well, hey, Wendy, we got less than 30 seconds. I wanted to say a big thank you for your two segments today. And we miss having you on every day, but I know you have a life right now.
I do have a life right now. Anyway, everyone just take care of your animals. Everybody be safe and take care of each other.
Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. You're listening.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
We will have our regular Friday team of former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, media critic Mark Jacob, Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, and sports with Dan Schumacher.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.